It's good to be together again, isn't it? And we're in this together, you and me, and everyone who's listening, as God is, will be heard today from New England to California on radio and all around the world on the podcast. And this is May, the month for mail. May is the month for mail. Now, you can write to me anytime. I enjoy hearing from you always, but here's what I invite you to do specifically during the month of May, as I mentioned on Monday. Email me or send me a letter to my mailing address and include the following, and I'm going to make this as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. Include 1, your name. 2, how do you listen? By radio station or podcast? If radio, is it WEZE, WROL, or KDIA? 3, tell me why you listen. What does God is mean to you? You can keep this nice and short or nice and long if you'd like. That's up to you. And 4, include any comments about the program. Say questions you might have, this type of thing. If you do not have any comments or questions, just do 1, 2, 3. Let me give that to you again. This is as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. Write to me with your name. Tell me how you listen. Say why you listen. And include any questions or comments. And I will mention this again, but do not delay. Go ahead and write to me today. As incentive, I have a gift for you. If postmarked or emailed by Friday, May 31st, I will send you a gift certificate to the Banner of Truth publisher. This is the Christian publisher I trust the most, and their website is loaded with various outstanding resources that you will enjoy. You're sure to find something that's just right for you. And this is my gift to you if you will write to me by May 31st. And I can send the gift certificate electronically by email if you prefer. So either way, I will send my gift to you electronically or put it in the mail, and it will be yours if you write to me soon. This is as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4, and I really hope you'll be willing to do this. Thank you in advance for your note. Remember, May is the month for mail. With that reminder given, let me also remind you that when we left off last time, I was telling you about the origin of the Pharisees. They were the predominant Jewish religious group that Jesus had to deal with in his human ministry as he moves throughout Israel. And as I give you some detail about the period in history between the Bible's Old and New Testaments lasting 4 centuries, I have cited the Pharisees as one of the groups that, responding to Hellenism, Greek philosophy, worldview, and practice, emerged within Judaism. Having given you that background yesterday, today I want to give you my promised 10 facts on the Pharisees. After I do this, we shall move on to talk about another group, the Sadducees. Here then are my 10 facts on the Pharisees, and as you'll hear, each one builds on the other. Fact number 1, the Pharisees wanted to obey all of God's law. Fact number 2, the Jewish public honored the Pharisees for their apparent obedience to the laws of God. Fact number 3, however, as the Pharisees interpreted God's law, they invented their own laws, and this was their primary sin. Fact number 3, in interpreting God's actual law, they made their own laws, which was their primary sin. Fact number 4, the Pharisees forced others to live out their own law, even though the Pharisees themselves could not meet their own standards. This is what made them hypocritical. This leads to fact number 5. I trust you see how one builds on the other. Fact number 5, the Pharisees were so preoccupied with obeying their own law that they failed to share God's love, mercy, and compassion for anyone who did not obey their own laws. Fact number 6, the Pharisees were always more concerned with appearing to be godly rather than actually pleasing God. Fact number 7, and this is a key one, the Pharisees believed that God would save them because they had perfectly obeyed the law, not because God forgave sin through Jesus Christ. I have to repeat this one. The Pharisees believed that God would save them because they had perfectly obeyed the law, not because God forgave sin through Jesus Christ. Fact number 8, the Pharisees did believe in bodily resurrection of the dead and in eternal life. Fact number 9, the Pharisees did believe in angels and demons. And finally, fact number 10 about the Pharisees. The Pharisees hated Jesus because Jesus condemned their law, the law they made up, and told them the truth about God's law. Furthermore, Jesus Christ lived the perfect life according to God's law that the Pharisees themselves wanted to live but could not. That made them despise Jesus all the more. So those are my 10 facts on the Pharisees, and I recognize I packed a lot in there. It will help if you read this for yourself, if you see it out in front of you with your open eyes. Therefore, I have posted my 10 facts to God Is WEZE on Facebook. That's God Is WEZE on Facebook. Or if you'll just write to me today for these, I'll send them along. If electronically, simply put the word facts in your subject heading on your email, just facts, and off they will go to you. It will be good if you can keep this in mind. The reason I'm telling you now about the Pharisees is twofold. One, they emerge out of the intertestamental period. Since I am talking about this period of history now, I want to mention the Pharisees this week. Second, if you want to know about Jesus' ministry, then you have to know the Pharisees because they are the constant, consistent, ever-present enemies of Jesus. Everywhere he goes, they go and dog him. So as we move throughout the life of Christ, the Lord is going to be teaching us who God is. And I believe you've got to have this background on this dominant Jewish religious group in the context of our discussion. My sincere prayer is that this is a very helpful resource for you as you read and study the life of Christ, and as you do that with me in the days ahead. But they are not the only group that comes out of the intertestamental period and then objects to Jesus in his gospel ministry. There are also the Sadducees. The Sadducees. And let's pivot and talk about them now. I'm going to do the same with them as I have with the Pharisees. I'll start with the intertestamental background, then move to the Gospel of Matthew and read for you an encounter between them and Jesus, followed by giving you some facts on the Sadducees. As we have already talked about Hellenization yesterday and being Hellenized, you know what that means. Well, the Sadducees were a group of people that were fully Hellenized, and they belonged to wealthy families. We could call them the aristocracy. They are the elite, and because of that, they're based in the city of Jerusalem, where the temple was located. As such, they became like gatekeepers of the temple, self-declared protectors of that temple. This is likely why they pretty much disappear from the scene in history at the destruction of the said temple in 70 AD. The only part of the Old Testament that the Sadducees accepted was the Torah. And again, the Torah is our Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. If something was not written in the Law of Moses, the Pentateuch, then it was to be strongly rejected. And when we come to their confrontation with Jesus and my list of facts, I will highlight beliefs they rejected that the Pharisees accepted. The Pharisees being an opposing group that did accept what was written beyond the Torah and what was passed down from oral tradition. But the Sadducees firmly reject oral tradition. But concerning their emergence in the intertestamental period, I want you to hear what the Jewish historian Josephus has to say about them. Remember, I have mentioned this writer, Josephus, to you? He writes of the Sadducees, quote, "They were received by but a few, but were those of the greatest dignity," unquote. So the Sadducees were far fewer in number than the Pharisees, but because they were rich and well-connected, the highest class of people, they were influential. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 22 and read about the Sadducees and Jesus. I'm reading Matthew 22 verses 23 through 33, and I'll insert some comments along the way. Matthew 22 verse 23 begins, "On that day, some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and questioned him." Well, mark that down. The Sadducees do not believe in resurrection. And what follows is about the Sadducees attempting to contradict Jesus on the matter of resurrection from the dead. Verse 24, asking, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother as next of kin shall marry his wife and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers with us, and the first married and died, and having no children left his wife to his brother. And so also the second and the third down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had married her. Now here the Sadducees say, in the resurrection, but they only do so to try and trick Jesus. From their perspective, they are making a hypothetical argument. Verse 29, but Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures, nor the power of God, for in the resurrection. Now right there at verse 30 in Matthew 22, Jesus tells them their theology is wrong. Jesus says there is a resurrection. Let me continue the reading. Verse 30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the crowds heard this, they were astonished at Jesus' teaching. That was Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 to 33, with comments from me inserted in the reading. You could read that on your own later today, please. The Sadducees take their faulty, bad theology and put it up against Jesus, and the Lord sternly corrects them, using the Torah, the Pentateuch, the only part of the Bible the Sadducees believed in. Jesus is amazing. By doing this, he silences them. He destroys their argument, you see. Okay, this sets the context for who the Sadducees were, and tomorrow I will give you my facts about them. I hope that you will return and join me as we end the week together. I'm giving you a preface for meeting Jesus in Luke 2, and I'll conclude it tomorrow. So join me then, for God is.